they study horn for 7 weeks, and they needed a text to help them with that. And there's nothing out there that really gave them the information that I felt they needed that helped band directors learn how to teach the youngest students. So I created a course pack originally in 2003, and it has a lot of articles from a lot of different sources, and that kind of put together what I felt the student needed. And the more I worked with this course pack, I realized, you know, a lot of this I want to put in my own language. And so I really, probably about 10 years ago or so, I'm not sure when, I started rewriting each chapter and each segment that I'd put together in the course pack in my own words. And so this is the culmination of this. And I finally felt like it was at a point where, you know, I think this might be useful to people outside of Western. So I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback on it so far since I made the posting on Monday. So,
well, let me open it up. Okay. For my teacher, Douglas Hill.
Yeah.
Who is Douglas Hill?
Yeah, he is my beloved teacher, a really special person for many horn students and horn professionals now in the field. He was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for over 40 years, and I had the pleasure of working with him at the height of his career towards the end of when he retired. He retired about 5 years after I left, and just a really special person, the way he taught. A lot of what I put together in the first brass techniques course, I co-taught the equivalent course at Madison with him. And so a lot of this I borrowed from his materials. Many of those materials were not published, some were published, but so he's been a real strong influence on me. Very kind person, supportive, just really. I did both my master's and doctoral degrees at Madison. I loved him so much I wanted to stay there for 5 years for all of my graduate work.
Oh, that says something.
Yeah. Yeah, really special person. So his voice, I think you can hear his voice through me throughout the book, because he really is a unique pedagogue in the way that he teaches horn.
Well, let me turn to the table of contents.
Sure.
Let's see here. Oh, we have more acknowledgments. Ooh, okay. There's a lot. You seem to address a whole lot of issues. I can't read all of these.
Sure.
I would say it breaks down into about 50 different segments, something like that.
And a lot of it's technique, you know, how to play the instrument, the basics of putting the instrument up to your face and forming an embouchure.
Or even putting it together. I mean, it's pretty simple.
But there is no resource that really tells us when you put the mouthpiece in, give it a quarter turn so it doesn't fall out. It's that kind of stuff that I needed to put together. And that's what's in this book, is that when you first get the horn out of the case, and you want to be sure that you open up the case so that the instrument doesn't fall out.
Right, so it doesn't overbalance.
You want to make sure the hinges are pointed up. And usually the manufacturer's name is on the horn, so you want to look for that label. And it's that kind of stuff, how to put the instrument together, the basics of how to play the instrument. Yeah, and it's intended for people who are at the very beginning, whether that's a fifth grader, a young student. It's written in a language that I think is accessible to young students as a supplemental book, but it's also intended for our college students here. I'm still using this as a textbook for that course, so college students who are just starting with the horn.
I think about how hard it is to take what you've just learned in a lesson, which feels like you've got a whole lot of knowledge just right there and you're really excited, but even a few hours later, there's only two or three things that you can really remember.
Sure.
You covered.
Sure.
So this as a supplement could really help someone.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up too, because I actually use this with my own private applied horn students too. So horn majors use this as a text as well. So I wrote it in mind with sort of a diverse audience, and it's just for beginning horn students, no matter what level that they are at. And college students are fresh and beginning on a certain level. It's the first time they've studied with me. It's the first time they have my language on some of these and my suggestions for how to do some of these things. So students who were sort of, it's an introductory text for students who are at a variety of stages and have a horn in their hands.
Something people may not realize about students who choose music education as a major is that those students have to become proficient on the whole family.
That's right.
Of instruments.
Yeah.
So there are beginning horn players in college.
That's right. And we have at Western, they have horns that they can check out from a resource there that they are able to actually practice the instrument and have the instrument in their hands for seven consecutive weeks so that, so they can get a certain level of proficiency. Now, there's only so much you can do. You know, you have to be strong. It takes strength to build up your embouchure muscles and to learn how to use your air appropriately and all of these things. So there's only so much you can cover in 7 weeks. But what I hear from a lot of our band directors who are in the field, and I see it when I go out on public school tours. So it's a resource that there's no way you can have all of this information in your head at the end of 7 weeks, but it's an important resource for you that you can pull out and help with your horn students. So, yeah.
Let me just mention a few of the beginning things here. You have a section on the first lesson. Posture is right there next.
Yeah.
And hand position. This is all just simply how to hold it, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's an awkward instrument. It's diagonal across our body. And so, yeah, there's some things we have to talk about to get to an optimal place.
You mentioned breathing and embouchure.
Right.
Too. So much like any instrument, getting those fundamentals down at the very beginning is really going to help you in the long run.
Right.
Even if it feels a little awkward and maybe it's not the most, sometimes you can get a sound on something and feel like that, I'm done.
Exactly. And students come at it with different skills. So our students who are in the music ed program, they're string players. Some of them are vocalists, but many of them are wind players. And so many of those students are used to blowing into something. They're either brass players on another instrument or they're woodwind players. But some of our students don't do that at all. They aren't used to using their air to produce sound on a musical instrument. And it's amazing to me how some students take to it. It's very easy for them to pick up on some of these concepts, whereas other students, it's more of a challenge. They have to really be more diligent and practice a little bit more to make this a little more intuitive.
Well, I'm going to flip some pages.
Sure.
And see what there is.
There's a lot there.
Oh, we have a diagram of the instrument. Very mm-hmm. helpful. Let's keep moving.
But even that,
along.
I worked with a graphic artist here in town to draw that diagram. There's nothing that exists that shows you this is what we call a lead pipe. This is what we call the first branch of the horn, you know, or it's hard to access that information. So, yeah, those kinds of things.
Later on, it looks like you write out some musical exercises to work on. Were these developed entirely new by you, or are these solid things that you had used in the past?
I think the latter. These are typical exercises that are used to help expand the range. There's nothing brilliant here, but yes, these are exercises that I created that help the student develop lower notes and higher notes. So yeah, but it's very typical of the kinds of exercises that you would see in other method books.
Here's the big question. Do you take your own medicine? I mean, do you practice what you preach?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not expanding my range now. I mean, my range is kind of where it's going to be. I'm not working on expanding, but I do work on tone quality in that range every day. And I have a couple of warm-ups that you're looking at here. That's the foundation of every day. That's the first thing I do. That's my first activity that I do in the morning is put the horn on my face and play for a solid hour. And I just do long tones, scales and arpeggios, flexibility exercises. I do ear training myself every day because I want to sing. I have found lately, and this is always evolving and changing, but lately I need to sing in my practice session more to connect my horn sound to what's going on, who I am as a musician inside my head. Singing is that that connects me to that better. So I have a couple of exercises where I sing pitches or melodic ideas and then play them, sing, play, and just sort of alternate back and forth between that just to incorporate the voice into my practice. So yeah, I absolutely do all of these things. That's the foundation of every brass player, how we're able to be brass players, because the strength of playing the instrument just demands that we have a certain amount of technical foundation each day.
That's what leads to excellence.
Yeah, yeah.
At least that's what you want.
Yeah, and in some ways it's burdensome. You know, I do have to do this every day, but it's a privilege also. You know, when I do this, then I get to play really fun music. I get to play with the Kalamazoo Symphony next week. You know, it's sort of like my daily dues. That's another horn player has talked about the warm up like that. It's just the thing that you have to do each day so that you can do all the fun stuff. I do often think about my neighbors, though. I wonder if they. I just moved to Richland this summer, and I wonder if my neighbors are sick of hearing the same exercise every day, because it's just what I have to do every day.
It's like an offering to the musical
exactly.
gods.
Exactly.
Toward the middle of the book, there's plenty of musical exercises to go to, and they look like they get harder and harder.
Yeah, multiple tonguing is something that I particularly use that with my college students. Those music ed students we were talking about would just barely touch on multiple tonguing, but my college students, I have them use this book for these exercises. Yeah.
And that's why the book could be a great starter and an advanced player's
exactly.
Book as well.
Exactly. If they're just starting multiple tonguing in particular, this gives them good beginning exercises, but also it helps you develop it further.
Do you have a book tour or anything scheduled to for a release? Are you going to be signing copies of these anywhere?
You know, I posted an announcement on Facebook because I was so excited because up to this point, this book has been published. It's been one of two offerings by one of our former grad students. He opened up this publishing company. He wanted to publish something by me and another horn player. So he's been handling this earlier edition of the book, he did the layout and the publication and collecting the money, that kind of thing. And I just wanted to avoid doing any of that and just sort of make it available through wider distribution. And so the big news with this project is that it's now available on Amazon. And a lot of my friends and colleagues in the horn world know about this book. This textbook was actually used at the University of Illinois for those students, and it was also used at the Indiana University for the students who are taking this very same course at those universities. So it's been getting out because my grad students use this to help teach the course, and they take it to their universities where they go afterwards, and they say, hey, you should use this book. And so it's gotten some press at a certain level, but I have to say, I feel kind of modest. I didn't know that it would get such a, that so many people would be interested at this point. But
you've been offering it to anyone who was interested.
Right, right. And they would just buy it directly from me in this form. But now I can send them to Amazon, which is handy.
This book, this edition that I'm looking mm-hmm. at is a little older, you said.
And, right.
But it's basically 8x10 pages
yep.
With a ring, a spiral binder.
Right.
Which sits nice and flat on a music stand.
Right.
Was that intentional?
That was. And again, I haven't seen the latest edition is supposed to be in my mailbox today. I don't believe that the binding, the spiral binding is an option with this current project. But I'm hoping. I've seen other versions of books that were published by the same company, and the binding seems durable. And so I'm optimistic that it will be able to be used on a music stand because it has so many musical examples that would make it more practical.
Yeah,
but we'll see about that. And I did actually think about that. It might suggest to our students that it's easy to go to Kinko's and FedEx Kinko's and have them bind it, and they're welcome to do that if they feel they need to have a version that sits more flat.
Okay. Well, let me keep turning pages here. I'm actually near the end. in which you look at different versions of horns and make suggestions.
Different makes and models, yeah. And there are basic models that, you're seeing some of my notes for next editions. There are basic models that are available at most music stores that the students and band directors in particular should be aware of. So I outline three different major makers and how they compare. They're very, each of those makers makes a brass horn that's of a certain wrap. And
it's such a big investment.
Yeah.
And it's going to become kind of part of your body. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're very intimate with it. You're blowing and breathing in the air of the instrument. So, yeah, getting a good instrument in your hands is an important part of that. So I give tips on how to select a horn and how to select an appropriate mouthpiece as well, what the standard makers are and yeah. And it helps at the basic level because there are a lot of handmade makers and specialists. You could spend as much as you wanted on a horn. Probably the most expensive double horn is about $11,000 now. And when I say that, I know that's nothing compared to some other instruments. But that's expensive for us. Usually students pay around $3,500 for their instruments. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then restringing the valve is important to know how to do that because often those strings break.
What, there's so, strings on a horn?
Yes. On the back of the horn, it's what allows the lever to turn the valve. And so the string is attached to allow that mechanism to work. And they have to be changed. And if they're not changed often enough, they'll fray and develop breaking points. And you don't have a valve.
Wow. I just learned something.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So band directors, if you can imagine that, they're with a bunch of students, they have to be able to do that quickly. And so in that class, they practice restringing a valve so that they will have done it once at least before it's an emergency.
Basically, this book is the product of a lot of professional experience in both performing and teaching.
Yeah.
And that you said developed over the last 15 years or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking before the interview began about how important it is to keep notes.
Yeah. When I was a grad student, I tell my students the story as well. I took a lot of notes. After every lesson, for instance, I would go off to the side down at the end of the hallway and just write down what I learned because I knew I wanted to be sure that I retained that and had that. And I ended up filling up, this was mostly through my graduate degree program, 7 notebooks of just notes from primarily lessons and master classes that I took. And during my first year here at Western, I compiled all of those notes. I typed them into the computer so that I could search them. And so if I learned something about high register from a guest artist that came in or from my horn teacher that we had worked on in a lesson, I could just type in high range or high register and find all the different references to that. And this book is a collection of all of that, of the very best of what I think works that helps wow. students play the horn better. So yeah, it's blood and sweat and tears and all of that. Yeah, a lot of work over the last 15 years.
Would you say you're naturally inclined to document things, or is it part of the discipline you put on yourself too?
Well, I think it's probably something that I do. Yeah, I do it in other aspects of my life too. I have file folders for silly research projects that I like to do at home. So I think, yeah, it's sort of, but I encourage my students to do it. And I show them these notebooks and I tell them about this resource I created for myself because we all have very unique experiences that we bring to this, and we have a different language, a way of communicating what it is that we've learned, and we've learned different things that work for us, and so everyone has that resource that they need to just figure out how to translate that into something that's useful for the world. And so I think it's important for students to do that too. They need to do that same work because what they're going to come up with is completely different than what I came up with. Mine is a reflection of who I am, but they're all very different, unique people, and you know, I just met with my grad students yesterday, and how much they're using technology. I mean, I would fully suspect that my students would create something that's more digital. you know, one of my students is engaged in a course with the fourth horn player in the Philadelphia Orchestra, who created an online site where she can interact with her. She can send her recordings, and this professional will listen and give feedback and send back. It just boggles my mind. That wasn't even available when I was a student. So the ways that my students are learning and getting information and learning about the horn is just really different from my process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanted to study with someone in Philadelphia, you'd have to go to...
Exactly. Exactly. It wouldn't occur to me that they would just open a course in some sort of online portal.
Well, again, the book is called Horn Basics, A Practical Guide for Teachers and Students, and it's available on Amazon for all interested brass players. Lynn, you perform a lot, so let me hear about what you're looking forward to this semester or this next school year in participating as a performer.
Sure. So what's not currently on my music stand is a Kalamazoo Symphony concert coming up in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to playing Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony and all the other repertoire that's on that program. The Brass Quintet just completed a new commission by well-known composer John Mackey. I also have that music on my stand. So we're currently working out. Our classes start next week. So, you know, we have some things in the book, but we'll talk more about what we're going to do with that piece next time. And we're performing with the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Christmas concert and working on the details of that coming up. I always host Horn Day, and so I'm currently contacting guests and getting that together. And this past 2 months ago, I commissioned a piece for horn and electronics by composer Sam Wells. And so I anticipate I'll perform that piece. We're looking at there's a Seamus conference, a new music conference in Oregon next April. And we're looking at other places to do that. So that's still coming together, but that piece is also on my music stand. So yeah, those are some of the things I'm thinking about lately.
Wonderful. Any recording projects you've completed?
The Western Brass Quintet. We just recorded a new full-length CD in May, and it's great. It's a lot of great pieces, a lot of new pieces that were composed for our 50th anniversary, which was last year. And then we also recorded some standards. The Arnold Quintet is one of our earliest great piece in the repertoire from the 1950s, and a couple of other pieces that are in the standard repertoire. So we're working on editing that and getting that together right now. Not sure when that will be released, but hopefully soon.
Well, you'll tell me about it.
Of right? course.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'll tell everyone else.
Glad to. Thank you. I appreciate your support and
sure.
opportunities for letting people know about our work. Thank you.
Well, it was always great fun to talk to you, Lynn, and I always want to go home and practice a little.
Great. Well, thank you.
All right. All the best with the book.
Thank you.